Same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, you do not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the difficulties that face a preacher every week is finding a sermon title. And I found my sermon title before I found my text. And that is why in the bulletin, it talks about a father's love. But I'm not preaching about a father's love this morning. I'm going to be preaching from the text that has been read to you. And you can call the sermon, "Peace Be Still," or you can call the sermon, "Passing Over." And some of the issues that were lifted up in prayer this morning, I'm not going to accent those issues. But I want to suggest that there is a certain turbulence about all our lives. It takes place every day. And this text from the book of Mark provides a context for us to see ourselves, and also for us to have a vision and a lens on the world. Now, Mark takes us to a lakeside, possibly the Sea of Galilee, where a crowd had gathered to hear the words of Jesus. They apparently had been there for a while, for evening had come, and Jesus was in need of rest. There in the gathering twilight, the crowds remain, still searching and still wanting, still enthralled by the words of this teacher man called Jesus. Jesus says to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side. Let us go across to the other side of the lake." And then they took Jesus with them in a boat, just as he was. I want to suggest that perhaps the "just as he was" refers to the fact that Jesus was just tired, just as he was. The Sea of Galilee is subject to sudden squalls. The disciples were experienced fishermen, and this was their home lake. They thought they could handle any storm that might rise up, but the text indicates that they were in great danger despite their skill and despite their experience. The text describes the perilous scene. Waves are breaking over the sides of the boat. The wind is fierce and blustery. The boat fills with water despite all attempts to bail. Everyone is working hard at trying to stay alive, knowing that drowning is a distant possibility. But where is Jesus? Where is he when they most need him? In the stern of the boat, in the back of the boat, sleeping, with his head on a cushion. The disciples, undoubtedly wide-eyed with fear and trembling, said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Without answering their rhetorical and fear-laden question just yet, Jesus rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. Jesus then said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? After all you have experienced, learned, and gone through with me, after all the miracles you have witnessed, and after all I have done for you and with you, have you still no faith?" And Jesus answers the rhetorical question the disciples posed earlier with a question, which is reformulated and echoes in our lives and journeys 2,000 plus years later. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? And last week we talked about the faith of a mustard seed, and the mustard seed as being the smallest seed, and to some degree saying the requirement is not that you have a lot of faith, not that you know everything, but that perhaps you can just be in a learning mode, trying to become familiar with all that Jesus is saying. Because this text is also situated in the early life and ministry of Jesus. And at this point, Jesus had been baptized by John, called fishermen to discipleship, and taught as one having authority. He embarked on a searing, radical interpretation of the prophets and a bold declaration of the kingdom of God. John had said the kingdom of God was coming, and Jesus now says the kingdom is here, and the power of Jesus was even recognized by the forces of nature, such as the wind and the sea. And the people, in amazement, ask one another, "What is this? He commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him." Who is this man? Even the sea obey him, and the wind. Now, New Testament scholars believe that the lake that is referred to here is the Sea of Galilee, and it's the largest freshwater lake in Israel, and it is about 13 miles long and 8 miles wide. The lake is frequented often by winds from the west and northwest that come down into the basin of the Sea of Galilee. These storms often occur in the late afternoon when the cooler air comes down to the hot air in the basin. A travel writer told the owners of the hotel where they were staying that he had seen a morning storm, and the owner replied, "It was only a little storm, not a big one." It is said that the Valley of the Doves, the steep rift valley west of Magdala tongue site, often acts as a funnel trapping the westerly winds and causing them to swirl over the surface of the landlocked lake, stirring up sudden violent storms. There was such a storm in 1992. It sent waves 10 feet high crashing into downtown Tiberias, causing significant damage. But this storm was unlike any other the disciples had seen. Now, I was 12 years of age, and early morning in September 1955, the radio newscaster announced that a hurricane, a storm by the name of Janet, was passing south of the island of Barbados. We lived in a gable house with a shed roof and with an outdoor cooking area that consisted of three large stones onto which a pot would rest. I had never been through a storm, but somehow I knew that something catastrophic was about to occur. My grandparents and aunt got out the rope, tied the rope to the ceiling, and loosened the bolts that were on the floor. Grandfather told us to let go of the ropes and run through the front door. We did, and the house fell. The winds over 110 miles an hour damaged and destroyed over 8,000 small houses and left 20,000 persons homeless. Now, we were scared. We were frightened. For the disciples, it was the fierce and pounding winds and the fury of the sea rocking the boat. For us, it was the furious winds and rains and no home. I am not sure of what the particular circumstances were for you. Perhaps an earthquake, tornado, or it could have been Hurricane Katrina for its survivors. And yet the most repeated admonition from God is to fear not. Do not be terrified. Do not be afraid, because you are mine and I am with you. Now, Shakespeare uses the metaphor of a storm to represent the twists and turns of one's life and how quickly things can change because of one event. And here, Jesus uses the storm as an occasion where the disciples ask themselves penetrating questions about life's ultimate concerns, about their own constitution, about that which they felt they knew. Quite possibly, the storm reminds us of how utterly dependent on God we all are for life. Or the storm could be a metaphor for the continual restlessness of our souls. And yet, we all know storms. The text tells us to cross over to the other side, to gain a different perspective. And sometimes the Christian journey calls us to stand apart from the crowd, to choose principle over popularity, to choose God's course and plan over our plan. Crossing over means redefining success, not in material terms, but in spiritual terms. It means taking a stand in our homes or in our church or in our community that runs counter to convention. It means saying no to violence in our lives, in our families, in our communities, and the world. It means proclaiming a vision of inclusion and love in a crazy world that is armed to the teeth. And I need not repeat the story. It means realizing the point of life is not to accumulate wealth, but to serve God. Crossing over means putting God first in everything we do. It means finding a way to mend broken lines of communication, healing old wounds caused by distrust and deceit. It means assuming the best and not the worst for the neighbor. It means converting our enemy to your friend. It means forgiving endlessly and loving extravagantly. Crossing over means living in the future and celebrating the resurrection life in a Good Friday world. Now, Jesus' command to the wind and the sea are significant declarations of power to the circumstance and context. The command to the wind, peace, is to the circumstances and adjutants. What is insightful here is that whatever the circumstances are, they are temporary and they are passing. Jesus defines a faith position by declaring victory over the circumstances that would attempt to overturn our lives. And his second declaration of power is he overcomes the sea that provided balance and support for the craft that his disciples were in. Jesus shows the disciples they have power over their circumstances and context through the exercise of faith. In other words, Jesus was saying, as I believe he says to all of us, proceed by faith and not by sight. Proceed by faith and not by sight. But wait a moment. The story tells us that Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat, not below the deck, but there on the surface, actually at the point that is higher and more exposed than the rest of the boat. And Jesus was able to sleep through a storm. And I guess from time to time we say that to each other. You're able to sleep through a storm when you should be awake. It seems to tell me that before I can declare peace in the world and circumstances around me, I need to capture and claim peace within me. Sometimes the peace needs to be spoken to ourselves first. Be still by beating heart, says the Shakespearean sonnet. Be still, my beating heart. So our faith should enable us to declare and internalize peace as an interior reality, to calm the warring sides of one's soul, to declare a peace that the world did not give you and the world cannot take away from you. Jesus gives us power to overcome fear with faith. Fear not, he says, for I am with you. Fear paralyzes. Fear destroys. Fear cuts us off from each other and from our source and power, which is God. Fear renders us useless in the greater struggle for what is essential and what is important. Fear makes us focus on our circumstances and not on our solution. And the Apostle Paul reminds us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but God has given us a spirit of courage and a spirit of power and of love and also a spirit of a sound mind. Courage to be a man. Courage to be a woman. Jesus gives us power over the storms. We can tell the storms, peace be still. And when it seems the storms of life are raging and your life seems upside down, when your home is in a war zone of hostility and strife, when your church grieves your heart, when you seem to lose everything you have worked for and saved for and hoped for, when your own very sanity is called into question, as I said some weeks ago, you can say you're in good company because the parents of Jesus thought he was crazy, and the scribes and Pharisees also thought he was crazy. But what you can also say is, peace, be still. When depression threatens to sink you further into a quagmire of loneliness and doubt, declare peace. When helicopter gunships patrol your neighborhood and unmanned drones strike at our supposed enemies thousands of miles away in our name and under our flag, we can declare peace. When homicide is the leading cause of death among our young people, we can declare peace. When your children seem to run counter to everything you have instilled in them and you get more attitude than gratitude, you can say peace. When the workplace becomes hostile and your benefits and security are eroding, and you are called to do the work of two persons due to downsizing, you can declare peace. When opportunistic maladies and cancers seem to appear out of nowhere and take our loved ones, leaving us bereft, we can declare peace. When our mind wrestles with questions about death, diminishing health, and failing memory, and we wonder whether God has forgotten about us, we can declare peace. You are mighty. You are victorious. You serve an awesome God. And Jesus calls you to cross over. Cross over from fear to faith, from death to life, from probability to certainty, from the way things used to be to the way things can be. God is with us through our circumstances and trials. God is with us through the storm. Peace.